City Council meeting for Tuesday, January 10th, and Happy New Year to everyone. Haven't seen y'all since last year, you know, it's the oldest joke in the book, but we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Funkhauser, you want to lead it?
Sure. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we do roll call.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Sweet.
Governor's.
What's that?
The governor's order.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we are doing this via Zoom by the governor's extended fiat that allows us to do Zoom meetings, but we do need to do everything with a roll call vote, so thank you for the reminder. That's why I have a good clerk. Thank you. Okay. I have no amendments to the agenda. Anyone else? Perfect. We have a couple presentations today. The first one is the Yorkville Youth Baseball Softball Association, and it's a thank you. Is this what this is? I'm going to read it, but Tim, I'm going to let you do most of the talking after I read it. In fact, you talk first, then I'll read it. You give the just the background.
Oh, no, we just wanted to bring in the Yorkville Youth Baseball Softball Association. Not only have they been a longtime partner with the city, originally running the in-house recreation league, and when the city took it over, continued that partnership. They do travel baseball. They help us out at special events and things of that nature. But the big thing with the thank you today is they donated $9,000 to the city to put outfield baseball fences at the Foxville baseball fields. Just an incredible donation, enhances the baseball fields for all of the residents.
It turned out fantastic, it really did. So I'll read this, and then the two gentlemen, two of the fine gentlemen, we have a lot of fine people over here too, two of the fine gentlemen in the back will be able to come up in a moment, and Tim will get a picture with you, or several. So, our certificate of appreciation, the Mayor and City Council of the United States of Yorkville present this certificate to the Yorkville Youth Baseball Softball Association for your dedication, commitment, coordination, and organization to promote baseball and softball growth for the Yorkville community, and also for your donation of funds to install outfield fencing for two Fox Hill ball fields. Your ongoing support and contributions to the Yorkville community have made this a great place to raise a family. Thank you very much.
One program, and it keeps growing and growing. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to thank the City of Yorkville for the support that Tim gives us and Scott every day in the summer. We've had this program for almost 20 years now, and with the in-house program to the city, it's helped us a lot because we're 100% volunteers. So Josh does the baseball side of it. I run the whole league, and we have other officers that help run the league. So thank you again to the City of Yorkville.
Excellent. And Scott and I both wore red in celebration. That's right. They do a lot for the city, and the city does a lot for them. Works out great.
It's a great partnership.
And it keeps growing. When did you start it? When did the city take over?
Like 17 or 18, we actually took over the in-house part, but I mean, we've had a partnership with them since they've existed. So,
one of our best days has been with the city. 97, 98,
I think.
No, I was going to say it's been around as long as I have.
Yeah, you were still in high school back then, weren't you?
No, I
haven't. <one of them. laughs> So, well, thank you all. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. So next, we have a new officer, swearing in of Officer Jacob Schwartz. And Jacob, wait, Jim, are you going to talk about him?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give a little bit, though. He's from Wilmington. Where is Jacob? There you are. I couldn't see him behind the redheaded guy there. So, Chris Kringle. So, Jacob, are you from Wilmington originally?
No.
Oh, where are you from?
Beecher, Illinois.
Oh, Beecher, yeah. Okay, I was going to say you're a Wilmington Wildcat. I don't know what Beecher is.
Flossmoor.
Okay.
Flossmoor.
Yeah, they're from Flossmoor.
Nice. Well, welcome. Well, anyway, Jim, come on up. We got to swear him in. I guess I'm supposed to do this, aren't I? And Jim, you get to do all the talking, though.
Yeah, but you can swear him in.
Should I do it first? First?
Let me swear you in first, and then the chief can do all the talking. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Yep, good to meet you. Welcome. You're good right over there.
So you live in the
future? No, I live in
the future. Oh, it's all good.
Most proud. Nice. Okay. So we'll have him raise our right hand, and then you offer to repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Jacob Schwartz.
Having been appointed to the office of patrol officer.
Having been appointed to the office of patrol officer.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the county of Kendall aforesaid.
In the county of Kendall aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Lost my spot. The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the ordinances of the United City of Yorkville.
And the ordinances of the United City of Yorkville.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Patrol Officer.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Patrol Officer.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Previous law enforcement experience of 4 years, almost 4 years with the Wilmington Police Department. So Jacob is the first officer we hired under our lateral transfer program. So it's great for us because we get experience, we get to kind of pick the people that we're looking for, and obviously we do a really good background, and obviously our background is fantastic, so, which is obviously a good thing. So Jacob comes to us, a graduate from Western Illinois University with a bachelor's degree in law enforcement and justice administration. He's a 2013 graduate of Beecher High School. Yes, he's very young. Lifelong Will County resident, resides in Plainfield, like I said, and he comes to us with certain types of certifications that you don't get a lot of officers that have these certifications with 4 years of experience. So he's a CIT officer, so a crisis intervention officer. He's a field training officer. He's a drone certified officer. We just started a drone program. Thank you very much for helping us purchase that. And a radar LIDAR instructor. So we were able to use a lot of Jacob's experience with our organization to help train our staff. And he brings a lot of experience to us, which is going to make us better, which is fantastic. He's joined tonight by his fiance, Ashley, who everybody met, his mother, Carrie, his father, Tim, his sister, Sam, future brother-in-law, John, we've got Neil, and we've got his brother, Chris. So, I want to welcome you to Yorkville PD. I know it's going to be an 18-week long program because you don't have to know how that stuff goes. But I want to welcome you aboard and thank you for picking Yorkville.
Thank you.
My grandchildren,
That's how you get the time there.
Say cheese.
Yeah, so it's, so there's a big college where we work at. There's a big grant magazine, it's great-great-grandpa.
Definitely a good one in there. Thank you.
Yeah, except I'm living here now.
Yeah.
You still live down there?
Oh, yeah. But we belong to the
Do you study here for 20 years?
Oh, thank you.
You might know my father. Who's your father?
Dr. Oliver. He was chief of staff at St. James.
No, Dr. Oliver, yeah. You were there for like
Sorry. From the same town.
It's crazy. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Chief. I assume you told Officer Schwartz that sometimes the public and ourselves have differences of opinion on some of the ordinance that they're asked to follow. Just make sure he's aware of that. Okay, do we have public hearings today?
No.
No, we have presentations later, but no public hearings. Do we have any citizen comments on items on the agenda? Anyone in Zoom land? Nope, thank you. Oh, we have a lengthy consent agenda. You all are working this one. We have the minutes from November 22nd and December 13th. We have bills totaling some big bills here. $5,027,047.77. We have the balancing out form for Fox Hill Roadway improvements. Request for change in plans and engineer's final payment estimate. We have a Mack truck price increase, surprise there. Approve a $4,000 increase to a final cost of $143, $131, and 38 cents. And we have a balancing change order for Mill Road construction, and that actually came in about $168,000 less. So I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
I heard Coke and Soling. Seaver, you were close, but I heard Soling. Okay, there's no discussion, but we will do a roll call, please.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher. Is he still there?
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulas.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. We're on to the mayor's report now. Well, number one, again, Happy New Year. Thank you, everyone. Eric, so we had that storm on Christmas weekend. It wasn't a lot of snow, a lot of blowing. So thanks to staff. I didn't hear any complaints, none whatsoever, so I appreciate that. And I know also we had a couple issues with people having water issues, and I appreciate the staff going out there and getting those fixed because, you know, it was on a holiday, but we got to have people have water, so thank you very much. Exactly. I appreciate it. Yep, and then I also heard you got that little mini project done, those sidewalks, or I don't want to say sidewalks, installed down there. I don't even know what street that name is, but
yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I heard a thank you for that, so I appreciate it.
I'll let them know.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so I have nothing else on the mayor's report other than the written items. So the first one is ordinance amending number 2022-61 and authorizing payment for temporary and permanent easements for a sewer line extension. And what this is we approved it, but we had the wrong amount. Instead of 27,600, we had 27,000. It was just a typo, but we figured let's just do it properly. So thank you for whoever caught that. Thank you. So this is for, which one was it for, ComEd?
It's a ComEd easement for the Bright Farm Sewer.
Okay. So, and this was in what, November we voted on, or December?
Just like last night.
Okay. So I'm looking for a motion, a second. Seaver, did you want to make that motion?
I do. Motion.
Excellent. Merrick, did you want to make a second?
I'll second.
Excellent. Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, the next one is the Public Works Bond Reimbursement Resolution. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
It's just a first reading.
Oh, just first reading? Oh, we don't even need a motion. Okay, well then I'll turn over to Bart. You can explain this then, so I don't screw it up further.
Sure, this is the same process we followed for the Prairie Point. So the concept of us having already closed on the lot of the Public Works building, we would pass a bond reimbursement resolution at some point soon after we've spent money. And then we're going to reimburse ourselves for that money that we spend on the lot at a later date. So this is an upper end estimate. It's the highest cost, $32 million, that we think a public works facility would cost. And so the reimbursement resolution really only protects our ability to be reimbursed at a later date in case we have any cash expenditures along the way not covered by a bond. So there is an absolute possibility that we can approve the reimbursement resolution at the next meeting, come through to a small building, smaller projects, spend less money, there would be no impact. It just means the maximum amount that we can reimburse ourselves if we decide to basically pay as we go, along the project is $30 million. So we wanted to get it in front of you at this meeting, that way if there are any questions or concerns about the process or the ordinance, you'd have time to digest it before the next meeting, which is when we're hoping to have a vote on it.
And so Bart, just to be clear, when we say reimburse, so for example, we close on the property for what was $1.3 million?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. So that came out of our general fund. This would allow us to reimburse the general fund and have that money in there for other expenses in the future if we choose. Right. That's really what this is. We've already purchased the land. But then also any engineering expenses, that architect expenses, we could also reimburse the general fund for those and then finance those over whatever it is, 20, 25 years, however long we go.
If we choose to.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't require us to, but it allows us to have that opportunity. So questions, Mr. Koch?
From what I was reading about it, can you explain, I see Main Tree was mentioned in that language. Can you explain to me why that's even mixed in?
Yeah, I'll give us a shot and wrap it up if I mess it up. So within a calendar year, there's a cap called bank qualification. And the way I understand it is basically you have slightly better interest rates when you have bank qualification process as opposed to not. So if you sell more bonds in a year than whatever that limit is,
10 million,
okay, then you can't necessarily do bank qualification. So Rob is trying to say there's a chance, depending on market rates, market forces, interest rates, that we'd be able to refinance the Raintree Village SSA, which would then take up most of that bank qualification. So we'd be using it on that instead of a public works facility, or vice versa. So he's basically saying we have two bonds that we anticipate this year. One is for the refinancing, one is for our public works facility, and he's just letting you know before we move forward with this one that one might come forward at some point here too.
They weren't committed to that one. The Raintree one, we have a previous commitment for that, right?
We have a previous commitment in that there is an existing bond already out there because the residents have been paying SSA taxes. There's no commitment for us to refinance. It's just if the market dictates that it's better for us to refinance, then we would suggest that we do that, and then we would sell it for refinancing basically at that point.
Okay.
Other questions, comments?
Okay.
You know, actually, that jogged my memory a little bit. Would this impact any bonds we might have to issue this year for water?
Yeah. It would be the same conversation about bank qualification. With the water, I mean, it's still such a large project and long enough into the future that we didn't necessarily think it would be an issue this calendar year. But certainly, if we move forward beforehand and sold the bond, then it would take up a portion of our cap space.
Okay. For the better term. Which we're nowhere near that at this point.
Correct. Because we haven't issued any bonds. It's calendar year.
Right. This calendar year, $10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these might not be issued. We have up to 18 months to issue these?
We do. Yeah.
From today.
July of 2024.
Yeah, and there's a real good chance we won't do it till next year. So.
Sure. To piggyback what he was talking about, because the last public works we talked about three projects that are water related, wells and stuff like that, and so that would be, could that come into the play here too then? It could, yeah. I mean, that could be a third bond issuance that we're looking at. I just don't think that we've come to that conclusion yet, that it would either meet the timing or that we would need to do a privately sold bond or publicly sold bond to do so. With all of our water projects, as we mentioned at the Public Works Committee, we have the ability actually to even retroactively apply WIFIA loans to those project costs. So we anticipate that WIFIA loans will probably be our main financing mechanism. At least that's what my gut says at this point. But we still have to do the analysis, we still have to go over the numbers, we still have to walk through it. So we're thinking that it'll probably go that way, but it may not. If they go through bonds, and in that case, that's a third one that's going to be competing for bank qualification.
Other questions or comments?
I've done this a few times, and I just thought I'd go for sure. The only thing this does is guarantee us the ability
correct.
To recapture the funds up to the $32 million. For the general
fund. For the general fund, correct. Yeah. Yeah, we're not issuing bonds. We're not voting issuing.
It just gives us the ability.
It's a step in the process that we have to do.
Yeah.
And this is the last meeting we can do that, or next meeting is?
Next meeting.
That's the way the time was, yeah. It's like a 60 or 90 day window, whatever, so.
Yeah, okay. And to be fair, last time we brought this forward for the Prairie Point building, he had a bunch of questions. We'd never done the process before, so we were trying to get it to be a little bit ahead of time that way.
Any other questions? Excellent. So this will be on the agenda next meeting. Okay, then finally, under the first mayor's report, we have a resolution. This is tied to water, too. Resolution affirming the December 14th, 2021 selection of Lake Michigan as the preferred water source and the DuPage Water Commission as a preferred water supplier for the United City of Yorkville. Mr. Funkhouse, would you like to approve it?
So moved.
Or motion. Trans here, would you like to second it?
Of course.
Other than this guy here, we got you all in. Okay, so this, again, we talked about this, and all of us were here. Craig, you were just on the board at the time, or the council, I apologize. But we discussed this, and after we went down to the state, talked to the state, they just want us to make sure this is the direction we want to go, and so we're just looking to send this resolution to them. Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cope.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Motion carries.
I have nothing else in this report. I will remember to turn it over this time, Mr. Merrick. Yeah. My pleasure.
I got two things on mine. First one's about PWD 2022-2. Is a motion to direct staff to begin the process of removing the parking restrictions along Lindet Ridge Road through notifying area residents of the proposal and inviting them to a future public works committee meeting that's scheduled on the conference.
Second
by Koch. So this is the first step. Second step is you go to the meeting, and then the final step is we come here, correct?
Correct.
And then we would vote on eliminating the parking. And that's for the whole length of the road? Or eliminate the no parking, sorry.
Correct.
Right. So a lot of parking. So. Okay. No discussion? Roll call.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And the next thing here is PWD 2022-4, which is a presentation relative to the Lake Michigan Allocation Application.
And this is a 5-year replacement plan. Is that correct, Brad?
Yes, that's part of it that we'll be talking about tonight. So Aaron is pulling up the PowerPoint.
Brad, I like your tie too, just for the
record. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. So it's been a while since we talked about Lake Michigan to the full city council, so certainly felt it was appropriate at this time to bring kind of a brief update for. We did present at the Public Works Committee meeting in December, so a few of you have seen this already, but we'll go through it here tonight. So again, what we want to talk about is just where we're at with the application for the allocation of Lake Michigan water. We're going to cover a couple different topics here tonight. So talk about the status, some of the feedback that we received from IDNR, and a critical part of the application, which is your water audit. Get into that a little bit, and talk about some of those keys to reducing some of our water loss. So many of these topics you've heard before, but IDNR wanted us to specifically bring a couple things back, just as you just voted on the resolution. Wanted to make sure we reiterated a couple things to the whole council. So start off talking about where we're at with the application. So if you recall, we submitted the full application back in April, and there's been a couple pre-hearings since that time. The first one was just with the attorneys. Second one was with the attorneys, staff, Mark, Eric, my staff, and that's when we received very detailed feedback from the IDNR. Obviously, we're tonight providing an update, and our plan is to resubmit the application after taking in the feedback by mid-February and having our third pre-hearing on April 5th. So, still think it's within reason to expect a permit sometime that summer. That still seems to be on target, and you know, that's what we're shooting for. So, just a couple of reminders. You've heard of these before, but to reiterate them again, a permit is required for all Lake Michigan users. So, anybody that moves forward to seek Lake Michigan water has to go through the process. As you know, the IDNR governs the allocation for the state of Illinois, and they are responsible for that. And one of the keys that they have harped on quite a bit, and we'll talk about a little bit later, is that your non-revenue water loss has to be less than 10%. So wanted to mention a couple takeaways from our comments that we received from IDNR. And the biggest one, which again is something that we knew, but IDNR really wanted us to drive this home again, is that all permittees, they lose the time and they more control due to regulatory requirements. So you're giving up control once you commit to going to Lake Michigan. So, for example, as noted in the second bullet point, if water loss gets out of control and being stayed above 10%, they have the ability to force you to add capital improvement projects to replace additional water main or do other improvements to make sure you stay within that threshold. So, again, they wanted to make sure that the council fully was aware of that, so we bring it forth again this evening. A couple other takeaways, really the biggest one to take away from this, which Bart has already hit upon, was the whole population issue, which has squared itself away. There was an issue that was brought up by IDNR at the time. That has been rectified, and we are using the October 2018 population for our planning, so that's become essentially a non-issue. The other bullet points up there, IDNR, you know, certainly had some questions and comments on some of our Fox River analysis and alternatives. We're addressing those as a part of our resubmittal and should have all that squared away. So again, just to hit on some of the major requirements from a regulatory standpoint, is moving forward on an annual basis, you'll have to continuously do several things. So there's annual data collection and testing, including an annual water audit that will have to be submitted. And if you're non-revenue water, if you have water loss more than 10%, then you will have to put together a reduction plan as a part of your annual submittal. They will be certainly watching and commenting on any conservation activities, so there'll have to be a commitment to that. And as we mentioned on the last slide, continued commitment to infrastructure improvements such as water main replacement, meter replacements, things such as that, to keep your water loss less than 10%. So we have introduced the concept of a water audit about a year or so ago, but just to briefly touch base on that again tonight, that's a key component of controlling and calculating water loss. So basically, it's an analysis of what comes out of your water treatment plants, what's been pumped into your system versus billed. And it falls into standardized manual and software that's prepared by the American Water Works Association. This is what's required by IDNR. This is an annual audit that you'll have to do moving forward. And basically what it does is capture your water loss into various buckets so you can focus on where to try to control some of those losses. Unbilled authorized use, that's like hydrant flushing, what have you. Apparent losses, that's inaccuracies in meters or theft. And your real losses, which is your water main breaks, leakage, those type of things. So we have been able to complete the water audit for the city. And just one thing to note, it's not based on calendar year or fiscal year, but what IDNR calls water year. So it's another term for all of us to get used to, but basically that falls in line with the federal fiscal year. So October 1 to September 30. So for 2021 water year, the city's water loss was at 14%. From the graph that's on the screen, it's that dashed line in the middle. Basically from 2015 to 2018, you are right around that 10% level. And then the last few years, it's slightly increased. And again, we need to be below 10%. So this is where kind of everything kind of falls into the various buckets, the main one being the real losses. That's roughly about 80% of the losses falls into those leaks within the system. So because the loss was greater than 10%, we had to prepare a non-revenue water reduction plan, and here are some of the key components as part of that. So we talked about this before, but one of the key components is replacing and updating water meters. It is critical to have accurate data. The older the water meter is, the less accurate it becomes. If you don't have accurate data, it's kind of hard to track your water losses. So it's important to do that. And Eric and his team are certainly leading that effort. And it's something that has been discussed about being in the budget. Some other things as far as some of the unbilled type of items to square away. Potentially, if there's an ability to update billing software, that's typically done in other communities, improving how things are tracked. I know Eric and his team from the water department have been doing that, kind of working with the fire protection districts when you're doing your flushing or your water mains, just tracking that a little bit better to try to assign a value to that. So that's work that's already being done. And then some other things that the city will have to commit to moving forward includes an annual leak detection. So the city did about half of the water distribution system early in the year, completed the remainder towards the last part of the season here. So that's something on an annual basis you'll have to commit to, and you'll see in your budgets moving forward that we will have to do. And probably one of the bigger takeaways from the discussion with IDNR was their insistence on increasing the water main replacement from what we had originally submitted on back in April. So on your left, that was the original submittal. We had targeted some older water main and some high break areas. And there's a side-by-side comparison on the next slide. But what they wanted us to do is commit even further to make sure that we were going to get the water loss at less than 10%. So the new proposed plan is on the right. And basically, that includes replacing all pre-1970s water main plus some high break areas over the next 5 years. So this slide here kind of shows the side-by-side, but basically it's tripling the original plan. We were looking at about 13,000 feet, roughly, of replacements, or a little bit over $5 million over 5 years, tripling that to 40,000 feet and above to $17, $18 million worth of water main replacements. So just to kind of recap some other initiatives that are being done or need to be done moving forward, Eric has been designated the water loss champion. So his team and staff in my office were meeting on a quarterly basis to make sure we're staying on top of the water loss issues, making sure we're moving things forward and progressing. And that certainly will continue as we conduct those annual water audits moving forward. And certainly we want to monitor the impact of the work that we're doing to make sure we're trending in the right direction. And another summary page just kind of hit the highlights, again, what we just discussed. But we're trying to tackle all three buckets where the water losses are occurring. With the main dollars, the main funding occurring either water meter replacements and an increase in the water main replacement. Something that's important to note is that IDNR certainly made it clear is that they really wanted not only us, the city, on this application, but other applicants to be below 10% water loss before we connect to Lake Michigan. So that's important to note because I guess keep in mind that we basically have to have kind of a clean water audit put together almost a year in advance. So it means basically 2 years prior to connecting, we need to have a good year of data and then we need to conduct the audit and then submit it for review. So the first 3 years, we're suggesting in the water main replacement side to be very aggressive, but we have to be able to get a target of below 10% by the end of 2025. So adding some of the water main replacement costs to the overall project cost, as the city council has seen before, it certainly does add to the project. You could argue that those water mains are already in the ground and they're just part of long-term operation and maintenance. But the IDNR is causing the city to advance that replacement. Certainly, over time, that water main would have been replaced anyway, part of just being good stewards of keeping your infrastructure up to date. But IDNR is forcing the city to be more aggressive in a short period. So it does bump up the costs. Those are the current costs as we sit here today. And we'll go back in the application. And that's what will be reviewed by IDNR as we move forward. And again, just an update on the net present worth. A little bit of an increase there as well. The side-by-side comparison between the chosen Lake Michigan option and Fox River. Still comparatively similar to what was submitted previously and reviewed previously, but just a few adjustments there. And then the net bottom line for your current projection of a monthly average bill, this is looking at 2030 for an average household. Basically, it pays up the monthly bill about $2 to $3, those added costs So we just wanted to provide that latest and greatest information to the city council as far as costs go. So some next steps, you already actually approved the resolution of this evening. That'll be part of the resubmittal and the application. And that again is going in February 14th, that'll be submitted back in IDNR. And we're looking for our third pre-hearing on April 5th. And as mentioned in previous slides, and we certainly discussed this at the Public Works Committee, certainly recommending to increase the water main replacement. It's taken from commentary from IDNR. And that includes potentially increasing the amounts of work that we do this year, potentially in the latter half of the year. So that get the city council in agreement and maybe wanting to move that forward to try to give ourselves a leg up on completing some additional work. So that is the brief summary, kind of where things are at. Certainly be happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
Mr. Kalk?
Fed funds, Fed revenues, that supposedly we were going to get to this, that was on this.
The federal dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Mark was alluding to earlier in the WIFIA funds. So I don't know if you want to comment a little bit about WIFIA.
Yeah, it's a low interest loan program. So it is very well funded currently by the federal government, who's looking to help communities out with a variety of water sources, really water projects in general. So our project is eligible to roll the basis. We're going to move forward with the application, see what kind of terms we can structure. One of the most intriguing parts of the program that I learned about in D.C. when I met with the director was that affordability for residents is a high priority. So they had expressed interest in, the principal or pushing principal payments off, being flexible with terms, disbursements to us. They really want to make sure that whatever we have to do rate-wise, that it's affordable for the residents. So they're really looking to be our partner from current, until the project is done, because they want to know the ins and outs project, what kind of challenges we have, opportunities we have, and they expressed a willingness to kind of, walk with us to help craft a loan package that works for us, to the best of the community's benefit.
Is that one-on-one us with the Fed, or is that one-on-three with Montgomery to Oswego? How are they looking at that?
Yeah, so you can actually apply either way. DWC could apply, we could have an intergovernmental agreement with them. I think our current meaning is that each community will apply for a WIFIA loan by themselves because the water mains that need to be replaced, in order to get under 10% non-revenue water loss, is actually eligible. So even though we're doing it now, we can either get reimbursed by the federal government potentially long term, as long as we federalize our process and follow all of their rules, or they don't have to reimburse us for the project. We can just consider it to be our local match. So because we are a community who is currently under 25,000 population, our WIFIA funding potential is 80% of our total project costs, all in engineering, legal costs, water main replacements, the new well, if we have to drill it, we can wrap all those things into the project and get 80% of it loaned on a low interest basis from the federal government.
So it's good to get that before we become home rule.
For sure.
Yeah. Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser?
Like I said, that changes my thoughts a little bit on bonding because as I'm looking through the different numbers, of the $32 million, we've got $17 million of water main replacements, and then the $111 million, but with OMR, $217 million. So that was my concern, is bonding for different things, but if we're looking at 80% of it going through the low-interest federal programs, that's a big difference for how I look at this in terms of impact. So,
yeah, we'll have to do an entire analysis. Here, my guess is that this is all going to come to a head financially here in the next 6 months, at least as far as the plan for be it Lithia loans, low interest loans from the state, private or public bonds, pay as you go basis. I think that we'll have all those vetted with DWC, with our regional partners, and with the different federal and state entities here, so that we can kind of map out a plan. I've mentioned it in Public Works, it's probably not going to all be hammered out by the time we have to produce a budget projection or proposal for next year, or by the time we vote on it, but I think that we'll have a pretty good idea before we start talking about it.
Mr. Funkhauser, to your point, if we can qualify for 80% WIFIA, let's say it's 110 million we have to finance. That's 22 million that we'd have to come up with locally. That's in between the Public Works building and what we're doing for the Prairie Point building. So while it's a large amount, it's not 110 million.
We're trying to stagger that between the years in order to stay under the cap in order to do this.
Right.
So that's challenging.
Yes, but remember, this 110 million isn't going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years.
It's going to happen over the
5, 6, 7 years. I mean, yes. some of it will have to happen now.
But we're also not anticipating anything else that we might have coming up in those years either.
Not in this discussion, but that's something we obviously look at during the budget process. Other questions or comments? Brad, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. If anyone has any questions in the future, feel free to email Bart. Excellent, thank you. Very nice report. You did a great presentation.
Brad, help out just a little bit.
A little bit. Teensy weensy bit. EDC, is there an EDC report? Public safety? Admin?
No report.
Park board? Park board meets next week? Planning and zoning commission? That would be myself. Christy, I'm going to get the motion and then you can discuss this if you would, please. I'm looking for a motion to approve the ordinance for the final plat of subdivision for Bowman, however they pronounce it, subdivision. Bowman? Is there a motion? What's that?
I thought you were looking for us to confirm you said it correctly.
That's what I thought you
were. Oh, no. Well, either.
Exactly.
Okay, we got the two. Okay, and this is at the southwest corner of Van Emmon, and is it Benjamin?
Well, formerly Benjamin.
Oh.
Timber Oak.
Oh, that's the one we renamed. Okay.
So the petition is Tom Bowman. He purchased that 2-acre parcel, as you just mentioned, such about the southwest corner of Van Emmon and Timber Oak Lane. He is seeking to re-subdivide the property into 2 1-acre lots for residential dwellings. And the property will remain zoned R1 and will meet all
the
regulations.
Are there any questions or comments? Thank you, Christy. Roll call, please.
Tranzier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Anything else, Christy? City Council report. City Clerk report.
No report.
Community and liaison reports. Staff report.
No reports.
Mayor's report continued. Bart, I'll let you take this one over. You can be the mayor for this.
I have no further updates on either.
That's a good mayor. Much better than I am. Okay.
One thing on I got to go through the building over the holiday.
Oh, did you? You did say
that. I urge all the aldermen to take a look at it. It's coming all really close and see the
And Rob, we issued the bonds in that just in time, didn't we? Before those interest rates.
More.
Yeah.
Should have issued more.
Will they say on Insights 2020 or something like
no,
that?
No, I'm down into them.
Oh, you probably were. Uh-huh. You owe me all the time.
Uh-huh. Yes, so. Rob.
Yes.
When I went through, there was one item that I brought up before, so that there was an area that I wanted to see, consider having the floor finished. It's an unfinished floor. You know, like, we could look at the cost to do that, to epoxy it, it would complete that section of the building. So maybe something to consider for a change order.
Thank you. Other comments? Okay. Is there any additional business? Are there any citizen comments on items not on the agenda? Welcome.
Thank
I see you wore the red too.
Yeah.
The whole fam.
Glad you were catching up. My name is Molly Kresge. How ironic that we got to hear the officers swear his oath tonight to uphold Yorkville ordinances. And when you ask these guys to stand down and not enforce ordinances, you put them in a really awkward position. You force them to violate their oath, and that eats at their conscience, and they lose respect for you for putting them in that position. I'd like to reiterate that if we do not uphold law, we do not have a country. If Pins can continue to have drag shows, then why can't Sammy Hall be on the ballot? If the letter of the law applies to Sammy, and it should, then it should also apply to Pins and everyone else in this town. Logic, reason, and procedure can't be thrown out the window just because someone screams bigot. Nobody's bigoted. We just need to keep our heads on straight and apply the law. In May 2022, patrons of Pins were openly allowed to fondle the breast of a performer making their way to the stage. Instead of calling the police, video was uploaded to the Pins Facebook page to advertise the activity. In December 2022, just a few weeks ago, one of the Pins performers instructed the audience, and I quote, "Tip the queens, have some fun, take out your singles, fives, and twenties, and throw it in our faces, and we'll throw something in your face, either right here, I usually say in the alley, but it's probably going to be in my car, it's a lot warmer." I'm going to repeat that because it's kind of an awkward quote. Quote, "Tip the queens, have some fun, take out your singles, fives, and twenties, and throw it in our faces, and we'll throw something in your face, either right here, I usually say in the alley, but it's probably going to be in my car, that's a lot warmer." Video containing this statement was also uploaded to the Pins Facebook page. There can be no argument made that these entertainers are artists if Pins is going to allow them to be treated like sex workers and allow them to solicit themselves from the stage like sex workers. When artists get their breasts fondled, the police are called. When adult entertainers get their breasts fondled, it's business as usual. Artists also don't throw things in your face in the alleyway for tips. We need to uphold the definition of male-female impersonation as adult entertainment until such time that discussions can take place about changing it. We can't just rip it out of the adult entertainment category. Now it's completely unregulated. There's a process for this, but you all know that. You've been through it many times, and I think you actually just enumerated it tonight when you were talking about the roadside parking. I've spoken to several of you who want the ordinances upheld, but tell me that enforcement power belongs to Mayor Purcell, and you're absolutely right. Mayor Purcell, it's insulting to the legislature, the ones painstakingly discussing the best paths for this community, for you to cast aside their legislation. I ask you to have some respect for their insight, for their efforts, and for the authority given to them by the people of this community. I ask you to have some respect for the men who came before them, the time that they took to form committees, assess risk, and pass ordinances to help secure the future for Yorkville that everybody wanted. I'm going to run through some basic political science very quickly. In America, we have balanced governments that consist of three branches. The legislative branch, that's all the aldermen in this room who make law. the judicial branch, that's all the judges over on John Street who interpret the law, and the executive branch, that's you, Mayor Purcell, who is supposed to enforce the law. You are overstepping the judiciary by irresponsibly reinterpreting the law. That's not your job. You are overstepping the legislature by casting aside pertinent ordinances that they have been tasked with putting in place. Nullifying their work is also not your job. Your job as executor is to carry out and enforce the law. As I have said from the very beginning, you aren't doing your job, and you are making it very difficult for everyone else to do theirs. It is appropriate for our current ordinances to be upheld until the legislature has the opportunity to assess risks to the vulnerable groups within the community and put appropriate ordinances in place to mitigate that risk, should they decide to change the existing law at all. Please respect the structure of our government and the roles that everyone plays within that structure. Please follow the documented procedure for upholding or amending ordinances. These are not unreasonable requests. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I would just like to clarify one thing, that there were men and women who came before and set rules. Not just men. Let's not go down that route. There's men and women who participate in this government. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was at the Plano City Council meeting last evening and had two observations that would illustrate to you something I think is really important. One man who was the head of the building committee, as he was giving his report for 2022, said that there were too many fines that they had to give out to the citizens of the Plano. So they decided to do something about it. He said he thought it would be important to educate and inform the people of Plano, and that they wanted to do this with kindness and compassion, and that they even went door to door so they could have face-to-face encounters to help these people not break code so they wouldn't have to be fined. And I was hugely impressed with the heart of this man and this committee, that they're looking out for the people to try to help them not break code, because they didn't want the people to have to pay a fine. The point is, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did 2023 years ago. And if I just want to remind you, we just passed a new year. It's 2023. That signifies something very impacting that happened 2023 years ago, that our whole calendar is such about. Jesus Christ came. The point is, he came to give us a face-to-face encounter with God and say, these are the rules of the kingdom. These are the codes of the kingdom. God is the ultimate government authority on the earth, and I'm here to help you not break them. I'm here to tell you what are the rules, and I'm here to help you not pay the fine. Because when you're talking about eternal things, the fine is hell. And Jesus Christ didn't want us to have to pay that fine. So he said, here are the rules, and you can read the Bible and find the rules. The other thing that happened, and that applies to this issue, but the other thing that happened yesterday was a citizen got up, and she had a real complaint that she had a new neighbor, and the new neighbor was not tending to their trash at that home. And the trash had been piling up and piling up for months, was getting to the place where it was pushing in the fence between the two yards, and it's going to be into this woman's yard soon. Besides the fact that it was unsightly and unhealthy, the new people that weren't tending to their trash well had big dogs, and this lady had a little dog, and she's very concerned if the fence went down, what the big dogs would do to the little dog. And I'm here to say that drag queen activity, not the people, but the activity is trash. And as it encroaches upon the lives of the upright and their children, who knows what those big dogs are going to do to those children? And that is the concern. that we not abuse children in this discussion. Again, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to say, I can break you out of doing the trashy things. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to rescue the world. But you've got to love the light more than the darkness. You've got to follow me, not the trash. And then I just wanted to list off some changes that have been made in civilization since Jesus Christ came to the earth 2,023 years ago. Number one, prior to the modern era, which started when Jesus Christ came, they burned babies on metal idols. That's called child sacrifice. And Wikipedia says that that went out as the teachings of Jesus Christ came in. Another thing that changed because of what Jesus Christ said was the gladiator shows. It was the Christian influence that stopped the mauling and slaughtering of humans for entertainment. That was Jesus Christ, the changes that he made. Another thing listed in Google was the low status of women. You're very careful to say that women are equal. Yeah, guess who changed that? Jesus Christ. Prior to his coming to the earth, women were considered property. They weren't given good education. They weren't allowed to speak in public. Guess what else happened when Jesus Christ came to tell us, hey, these are the codes of heaven. I don't want you to break them because I don't want you to pay the fine, which is hell. One of those things he changed was that people used to abandon unwanted babies if the baby was infirm or plain and just unwanted, or sometimes a female. They would leave the baby for the elements of nature or the wild animals to consume. And guess what else is in that same list of atrocities which changed when Jesus Christ came to the earth? Sexual promiscuity, immoral depravity, homosexuality, men with children, etc. This is in the same ballpark of things that were of the ancient world that we, thanks to somebody who came to say, these are breaking the code, these are worthy of fine, but I'm going to help you out of them. The sexual perversion is right in that same list. So again, I just wanted to share with you that Jesus Christ said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness. In fact, I came to overpower that pull towards darkness. So you all have an opportunity to be free of it. But yeah, I want to just mention this one thing, that when Jesus taught about the fine that people would have to pay, it was not only for people who do the wrong, but it's people who cause the wrong. And I think that that is what Molly has been trying to point out, is that I'm sorry to say, but you're responsible if you cause the wrong. So we're not here to hate anybody. And I also want to make that point, that the people from Plano who went door to door to help others not have to pay a fine by not breaking the code, if I take up that cause and tell my neighbor the code, am I a bigot or am I helping my neighbor so they don't have to pay the fine? So there's something to say about people that care and just speak the truth so that others can be warned. Yeah, and so I just want to present that to you at the beginning of this new year, 2023 years ago, somebody came to make a difference, and he can help you. Thank you, amen.
Bye. Are there any other citizen comments?
Good evening, Mike Kremsky. I'd like to talk about something else first. Recently, we were at the library board meeting, and they had some pretty major concerns. And they had some concerns about the long-term maintenance of facilities in Yorkville. Of course, one of them being the library. And as you know, they currently have some HVAC and some flooding issues that came up. And they were disappointed how lax the city council is in assisting them. And they had some concerns about the aging systems, some lack of insulation on pipes there, lack of insulation or no insulation on the building itself. So currently, the solution has been, for quite some time, because this is not a new building, has been to, when no one's there, open up the cabinet doors and leave the water running. And that seems to be a solution. As you know, they had freezing pipes, and they were, it was brought to their attention, and they went there and started working on that. But then the next day, the boiler failed, and they had some burst pipes in some areas in the library that they had not had issues before, which led to, obviously, some exploratory evidence when they got there. So their concern is that, and one thing that they did talk about at a financial meeting, and they talked about adding a line item for maintenance, but felt that that was not something that was going to be handled, that could be handled, particularly by the library itself, and they consider the library to be a building of the city, and that building should be maintained and handled like any other building of the city. So they would like some support in that area. And I just found out that the liaison has been absent, or had been for this library board. And thank you for talking to me prior to this, Craig, and that you'll look into that and handle it going forward at this point until they can be appointed. So I appreciate that. I'm sure they'll appreciate this too. So please take into consideration of, now I think it's very important to them, but something that needs to be done, brought to a committee and discussed what those long-term maintenance plans seem to be. You want to put a lot of money into a new building, but it seems you don't want to maintain the existing facilities we have. So that new building, which is going to cost an absolute fortune, is going to have to be maintained. So we just going to neglect furthermore the existing facilities we have. And of course, if you know, I'm here because of the entertainment that's been going on in your room, and it continues. And there has been no movement. And tonight you saw how very simple and easy it is to make a motion to bring something to committee and discuss it, like adults, like a elected board of this city. So we ask again this council to bring the issue, which many citizens are concerned. Sure, they're concerned about parking, but this is a issue that involves the entire community and secondary effects on that community. So it should not be taken lightly. And you should consider those things that the citizens are bringing to you. So again, we ask that the city do their job, take a look at what's going on in this town, and uphold ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you all. Good to see you all again. I know you enjoyed coming here. I had a couple other things before we go into executive session. Oh, we will have executive session, and I will reach out to Mike Reynolds tomorrow to make sure he understands that people here are very grateful to what they're doing in Plano. So I will tell him that. Now I'm looking for a motion to go into executive session for collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
So moved.
Second. This requires a roll call vote, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher. Oh, he's gone.
He's gone, okay.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Much. We'll take a 5-minute break.